What's up, everybody? My name is David EJ Berger. You can find me at Carl Jr. on Twitter, and welcome to Training Camp Dialed In. I'll be featuring phone calls with NFL writers and reporters from the actual sidelines of camp. And moving forward, guess what? This is true. Virtual season is over, folks. I'll be getting their inside knowledge from the sidelines once again about the teams they cover from a fantasy perspective. This is the place to be all month long, as I'm bringing you 3 to 4 shows per week filled with football knowledge that's going to help you win your leagues this season. So you need to subscribe to the Dynasty Happy Hour feed, the exclusive home of this super short run, yet super essential podcast for the month of August. And I am back once again at the podcast mic. Sadly, though, for the last time in 2020 on this very podcast. Yes, that's right. We have reached the end. I mean, we're into September. You hear me talk about August in the intro. It's all August long, not August into September, partially. Who knows when this thing is over? Well, I'm telling you right now, it's over. But while 2020 has been an absolute dumpster fire of a year, this has far and away been the best year for this podcast. I want to give a big thank you to Tyler Gunther for hosting this podcast on the Dynasty Happy Hour feed. You need to be following Tyler. You need to be following Dynasty Happy Hour each and every week. And they have a lot of things in store for the 2020 season with a lot of new writers, a lot of new voices on their podcast feed. You need to download it all. I'd also like to give a big thank you to all the reporters that came on this podcast. They didn't have to do that, but they did. They did. You heard it. And I think it's safe to say I've made enough contacts to keep this thing going next year. And to that end, I want to give a big thank you to you, the listener. Yes, you. I appreciate all the tweets out there that have shown this podcast love, the DMs as well. Someone even told me I actually helped them win their league. That's what we're here for, folks. So it's pretty cool. I'm not going to lie. But while we are near the finish is until the end of this podcast. So we got some more fire stuff for you right now. We're closing it out talking about the Chicago Bears. I dialed up Sean Hammond. You can find him at Sean_Hammond on Twitter. He covers the Chicago Bears for Shaw Media, and you can find all his coverage at ShawMediaIllinois.com/Bears, where he also contributes to Bears Insider, the home of all the Bears content you'll ever need. I couldn't be more excited to have him on as my final guest of the season. He gives a masterful podcast appearance by giving us the inside scoop on Chicago Bears training camp and delivering the definitive guide to the Chicago Bears in 2020. What are we waiting for? Let's bring him on. Ladies and gentlemen, Sean Hammond.
Hello.
Hello, Sean.
Yes, this is Sean.
Hey, this is David from Training Camp Dialed In. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for agreeing to talk some Bears training camp with me. People are excited. The football is back. They need the fantasy info, and specifically, they need the inside info to help them win their leagues.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
First off, thanks for joining me again. Training camp is winding down, and in fact, the Bears had a scrimmage this past weekend, which I believe you told me was the last looks for the media. So it's getting real here, Sean. What were some of your big takeaways from the offensive side of the ball during this Bears scrimmage?
Yeah, so this Saturday at Soldier Field was our last full look at practice. We're basically right now this week, we're just getting to go out and take attendance for 15 minutes, and then we got to go. Saturday was, it wasn't a perfect look by any means. They weren't tackling, and the offenses were scripted. So, you know, even if there was a 20-yard gain, they would line up for a 2nd and 8 or whatever. And it was a little bit clunky, I guess, in that manner. But the big takeaway in my mind, and I'm sure we'll touch on this later, but the quarterbacks, to me, this quarterback competition is really muddled. And I don't think either guy is particularly standing out, whether that's Mitch Trubisky or Nick Foles. I think both have looked sort of pedestrian. Trubisky seems to be testing it downfield a little bit more than what we saw last year, and that's to varying success, I guess. And Foles looks pretty conservative in general, just with what he's trying to do out there.
You know what? We're talking about the QBs. Let's get right to it. You know, the quarterback situation in Chicago has officially become the classic NFL cliche of quarterback controversy. Media talkers have speculated for months that incoming veteran Nick Foles would take Mitch Trubisky's job. Odds makers even got in on the action, carrying lines on both guys as to who will be under center week 1. And head coach Matt Nagy has now said he won't even name a starter until the opener. We've officially reached zero station, completely validating all the offseason talk. You've been around this team now all camp, and you just mentioned you aren't sure which is the guy, but can you talk a little bit more about each of their camps so far?
Yeah, for sure. It's really hard to tell right now where they're going to go. And Nagy did clarify yesterday a little bit that, you know, we'll probably know who the starter is early in week one, whether that's Monday or Wednesday. He didn't really go into details, but it sounds like we'll know ahead of time for sure. Trubisky was picked off twice in the scrimmage. Nagy was making some excuses for him, for lack of a better word. You know, that may have been a function of the way that the scrimmage was set up. And he talked about how the quarterbacks, they wanted them to test it downfield rather than take a sack. And sure, maybe Trubisky might have thrown some of those balls away. But at the same time, he was picked off twice by Kyle Fuller. So either way, it didn't really look good. There's been a couple, one other weird play with Trubisky earlier in camp where he, on a play at the 1 yard line, he ran out of bounds for a sack. And while that wasn't a turnover or anything, you know, crazy like that, it still wasn't really good quarterback sense. You know, that's a ball that he's got to throw out of bounds and just take the incompletion there. But like I said a few minutes ago, he is testing it downfield, which was something that he was very hesitant to do in 2019. I guess it's sort of a wait and see what that looks like when we get to the regular season. Now, on the Foles end, he seems to be consistently cautious. I wouldn't say he's testing it downfield as much as Trubisky, but at the same time, he's not making any glaring mistakes. And that's what they brought him in here to do. He's sort of that safe option. He's not going to make the big mistakes, but he's also maybe not going to be as flashy. If you were to ask me right now who I think's going to be the starter in week one, I just feel like the Bears have so much invested in Trubisky that I feel like they're going to give it one more shot. And then maybe if the wheels fall off, who knows if that's in week one or week five or whatever, then maybe they move on and go to Foles. That's just kind of my gut feeling. I really feel like this is pretty even, though, through training camp.
Trubisky is a guy who's been pretty transparent in the past about his mental health situation when it comes to this starting job. Do you feel like he has confidence right now, or is he kind of still feeling his way out there?
He seems pretty confident, at least in the way that we get to interact with him. He seems like he knows what he's doing. I think the question really just comes down to how much Matt Nagy is going to put on him. It seemed like a lot of times last year he was just being asked to do too much, and specifically early in the season, he was just being asked to do a lot, and the Nagy offense, you know, Andy Reid offense, whatever variation of it, asks a lot of the quarterback, and I don't know that he was necessarily ready to do that, and I think that kind of showed early last year. That season opener against the Packers just was really, really bad offensively for the Bears, and they kind of simplified things as the year went on and were able to find a little more success doing that. So I think it really comes down to how much you're going to ask him to do this year. In terms of himself, you know, he's a confident guy. He seems confident and seems like he knows what he's doing. I think, yeah, it'll just come down to how much they ask of him.
Will TVs be on around him this year?
That's a great question.
Okay. All right. Well, before we talk more about this Bears offense for 2020, a quick reminder of how they fared last year. In 2019, this Bears offense finished 29th in total points, 29th in total yards, but were actually 15th in the league in total plays, so some inefficiency issues there. Both their pass and rushing games never really fired, as they finished 27th in total yards on the ground and 25th through the air, running 63% of their plays out of 11 personnel. Now, this offense does have the luxury that a lot of teams wish they did in this weird and shortened offseason/training camp, which is carrying over a ton of consistency and continuity. But from what you've seen and heard around camp, how is this group reorganizing itself in terms of scheme, formations, tendencies, or anything that'll make this Bears offense a little bit more bullish in 2020?
Yeah, a couple things that come to mind are certainly they want to get the run game more involved. Now, saying that, you know, David Montgomery just went down with an injury, so who knows how that will affect that, but there were stretches last year when the Bears just could not run the ball. And I think I think having a little more continuity on the offensive line will help. They having Cody Whitehair at center the whole year, you know, they really shouldn't have moved him last year out from that position. So I don't think that helped in 2019. The other thing is they're really excited about their tight ends. Jimmy Graham, Cole Kmet, Demetrius Harris. We'll have to see from a fantasy perspective. It's kind of hard to get a good judge on how those guys will, how productive they will be. But from what the Bears are saying in camp, they like the tight ends they have. And it's hard not to when they effectively had no tight ends last year and they had very little production out of that position at all. So those are some things that come to mind when you're looking at their offense.
You also mentioned Trubisky taking some shots downfield. So let's talk about the guys in the wide receiver room next. The Bears have an official fantasy headliner in Allen Robinson, who had 98 catches, over 1,100 yards, and 7 touchdowns in a fully healthy year 2 for the Bears. He also had an impressive 154 targets. We love that for fantasy. How has Robinson looked, and can we expect his stats to grow, or is last year a solid indication of his ceiling?
So we haven't seen a ton of Allen Robinson. He hurt his ankle, I believe it was the third practice of camp, the third padded practice a couple of weeks ago. He just got back this week. He was dressed Monday and Tuesday. Again, we didn't get to watch those full practices. We only get to go see them stretch, but he was out there and he was in pads and wearing a helmet and running around. And he talked today actually, and he sounded like he's fine. Like the ankle is fine, so that's good news. Coach Nagy didn't seem worried about him at all. The thing that's interesting is that you mentioned how much he was targeted, and especially if Trubisky is the starting quarterback, Trubisky loves to target Allen Robinson. If Trubisky's starting, I would say Robinson's going to see the ball a lot. Now, having said that, if Nick Foles is starting, I think Robinson should still see the ball a lot, but we haven't seen them play together. I don't know 100% what that's going to look like. Allen Robinson did not participate in the scrimmage at Soldier Field. He was running around a little bit beforehand, but he didn't suit up for that. I think, you know, he's definitely still the most intriguing fantasy option on this Bears offense.
Well, this is why we're here, Sean. We're getting the inside scoop. I did not realize that Allen Robinson had missed as much camp as he has. And with a shortened training camp in general, that's a great nugget there. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and you know, they didn't seem worried about it, and he is back, but it's something to keep an eye on, certainly.
Absolutely. After Robinson is where I think we will need the most help. Anthony Miller is a guy Fantasy Twitter has wanted to see fire since he got in the league and projects to be the number 2. After that, it's veteran Ted Ginn, a pair of Georgia products and Javon Wims and Riley Ridley, a lot of dynasty guys like Darnell Mooney. What have you seen from this crew, and is there a hierarchy developing at all behind Robinson?
Yeah, this is a little bit tricky one to put a finger on right now. I do think, you know, Anthony Miller had a couple of nice games late in the year last year. He seems like he's been locked in over the offseason. He was working with Trubisky, you know, just doing some stuff outside of camp during the summer with him. I think Miller is looking like he's going to be the number 2. After that, it's hard to say. I've been impressed with Javon Wims. He's a lanky dude, and he can go up there and get a deep ball. And he's looked impressive through camp. And you mentioned Darnell Mooney, the rookie. It's hard to say how much he's going to be involved, but man, he is fast. He's just one quick dude. They haven't been afraid to throw him in with the first team either throughout camp. So he could be someone to keep an eye on. It wouldn't surprise me to see him involved. But overall, I think it's a little tricky right now to say who's going to be 3, 4, 5. I don't really have a good finger on it.
Riley Ridley is a guy where Dynasty Twitter is borderline tribalistic over him. A lot of people hate him. A lot of people love him. Could he ever be a thing, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he has the potential certainly to be a thing. I think they have the Bears receivers right now, after Allen Robinson, they have a lot of guys who could be a thing. You know what I mean? It's just kind of hard to say who's gonna step up from that group. I think Riley Ridley could be one of those guys, and I think the Bears brought him here because they hope he can be, but we haven't really seen it yet.
Moving on to the running backs, second-year man David Montgomery has an injured groin. Can you give us an update on that?
Yeah, I wish I could give you something a little more substantial than what's been out there the last couple of days. We don't have a whole lot from the Bears about Montgomery's status. The national reports are saying 2 to 4 weeks. But the thing that stands out to me about that is the fact that the Bears haven't signed a running back. There's, you know, a couple of good options out there on the market right now. Leonard Fournette just became a free agent today after reportedly clearing waivers. But they haven't brought anybody in. So in my mind, that says that they think David Montgomery's going to be fine. But who knows? I mean, if he misses a couple of games, when it's all said and done, that's really not that much. But those groin injuries could be tricky things, you know? It could be something that he gets over quickly, or it could be one of those nagging things that kind of is with him all year. It's hard to really say.
You mentioned Leonard Fournette, and he's the big name out there after the release from the Jaguars. And the Bears, I believe, have now become the odds-on favorite on a lot of sports books to land Fournette. Does that make sense to you? I mean, I know it makes sense in terms of adding to the depth of this backfield, but I feel like it also could bring a lot of potential issues, money and just the locker room environment.
Yeah, the money aspect is a thing, and you know, how much is he gonna want? That's a big hurdle. And the other thing too is the Bears do really like David Montgomery long term. I think that's who they see being their main guy in that position. That's why they drafted him, and that's why he played so much last year. And I don't see them signing Leonard Fournette, at least as it stands right now, unless David Montgomery is going to be out longer than what we think. I don't see it happening, but who knows? I could be wrong.
With Montgomery down, though, who fills that role? Will it be Tyreek Cohen getting the full workload? Or will Cordarrelle Patterson, or potentially maybe even deeper dynasty fave, Ryan Nall? This is a guy that a lot of sick degenerates out there would like to see get some work. What are we thinking here, Sean?
Yeah, so based heavily on what we saw Saturday with this scrimmage, with Montgomery was out for the scrimmage, and it was really a by committee effort. There was a lot of Tariq Cohen. There was a lot of Cordarrelle Patterson. I wouldn't expect any one of those guys to be getting 20 carries a game. I think Cohen will see the ball a lot. I think Patterson will see the ball a lot. Patterson's a big dude, and obviously he's a speedy guy. He's really fast. He had a really nice touchdown run early in that scrimmage where he took the ball up the right side and nobody touched him. He just blew past everybody. So that's something that the Bears need at that position. But don't rule out Ryan Nall. And actually, I would say don't rule out Artavis Pierce, who's an undrafted rookie from Oregon State who's gotten a lot of reps as well. Those two guys, I'd put those two guys kind of on an even footing. Maybe Nall's a little bit ahead just because he has the NFL experience of a couple of years now. Overall, it's definitely going to be a by-committee effort, and I wouldn't be surprised to see all four of those guys on the field at some point.
Well, that's music to the Nallers' ears. That's my nickname for the Nall fan club, the Nallers.
I like it.
Tariq Cohen, though, can we expect a year more like 2018 from him, in which he had over 1,000 scrimmage yards and 8 touchdowns? Or should we look for a repeat of 2019 that saw his catches actually tick up from 71 to 79, but his production dropped by over 400 yards?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, for Tariq Cohen himself, who's in a contract year, that's kind of the million-dollar question, right? Is this going to be – what is he going to show us? And the Bears want to get him involved. They basically said a lot last year. Coach Matt Nagy said that, you know, they weren't using him – in the optimum way last year. And when he was getting the ball, like you said, he caught a lot of passes, but he wasn't gaining big yards from those passes. And from the fantasy perspective, I mean, I don't know if there is a happy medium, if he's more of a boom or bust type of guy, or can there be some way that they get him somewhere in the middle where he's involved consistently producing when he touches the ball. From what he said, he told us last week, he told us that he had some family stuff going on last off season and didn't train quite the way that he wanted to. He didn't really elaborate any more than that, but it sounds like he was able to focus this offseason on football. And, you know, I guess with the coronavirus, he probably didn't have a whole lot else going on anyway. But he seems pretty confident that he's going to have a good year. I don't know that – I'm not 100% confident that the Bears know how to use him based on what we saw last year. I don't know. I guess it's kind of a wait and see for me on Cohen right now.
Cohen is a guy who's generally faded in the fantasy echo chamber. And Montgomery surprisingly gets that label a lot as well. And I know you mentioned him potentially getting more of a workload this season. Do you feel like he could produce with that bigger workload?
I do feel like, you know, before this injury, I do feel like David Montgomery was poised for a big year. A couple of weeks ago, he was talking to us, the media, and he said last year as a rookie, you know, if he wanted to go eat Krispy Kremes, he would go buy some Krispy Kreme donuts. And he was really into his Flamin' Hot beef jerky. And he was telling us about how he cleaned up his diet just this past year. And you know, it's funny. He's still a 23-year-old kid, right? Who doesn't want to go get donuts when they want donuts? But I think there's something to all that. I feel like he's lost, but he has lost a couple of pounds. He seems like he was in really good shape before this injury, which was kind of just a freak thing. Almost his cleat slipped underneath and he fell awkwardly and hurt his groin. But I feel like he could be a really important piece. It just comes down to a couple of things, whether the offensive line is really markedly better than last year. I thought a lot of times it seemed like they didn't really give him a chance. I mentioned it earlier, Cody Whitehair being back at center, and that's an important piece for them, and having some continuity in that aspect. They brought in Jermaine Ifedi, who's probably going to be at right guard, got a little bit of experience at a position where they had last year, for much of the year, they had Rashad Coward over there, who was a converted defensive lineman who maybe wasn't ready to be in that starting role. I think David Montgomery can have a good year and can be a really good running back. It just, the Bears got to use him right, and they got to do a better job than they did last year of getting him involved, because there were some games last year where there was one game they only ran the ball 7 times, and you just can't have that from your running back.
Well, there's a lot of dynasty guys out there who would love to see a big year from Montgomery, so let's hope he gets healthy and back on the field. Okay, rounding to the finish in the tight end room, you've mentioned these guys as a potential exciting spot for the Bears in 2020. We have Jimmy Graham now, rookie Cole Kmet out of Notre Dame, and veteran Demetrius Harris. He has some juice. How do you see this room playing out onto the field in 2020?
Well, the Bears have loved talking about their tight ends this year, and it's funny. Cole Kmet was talking about how he had a Jimmy Graham Saints jersey when he was a 12-year-old kid. So these guys kind of, you know, it's a feel-good story, especially for a position that was absent for most of last year. These guys are going to be involved, especially Graham and Kmet. They're heavily involved in practice. They're heavily involved. They were heavily involved in the scrimmage on Saturday. Especially the Bears really didn't have a tight end last year who could pull in a touchdown in the red zone. And I think both these guys have that ability from the fact that he's a veteran and Kmet's coming in as a rookie. I think we may see a lot of Jimmy Graham early in the year, but I wouldn't be surprised if Cole Kmet keeps taking on bigger and bigger workloads as the year goes on.
That's very exciting to hear as someone who drafted Cole Kmet on a couple of his dynasty teams there, Sean. I'm loving it. I like the athletic profile. I like the opportunity. It feels like Nagy, he wants his Travis Kelce. He was spoiled by his days in Kansas City.
He does.
All right, I'm going to just pocket this confirmation bias right now into my back pocket.
Yeah, they're hoping that Cole Kmet can be their Travis Kelce, and I guess we'll have to see. But he, I guess it's that old cliche. He looks the part.
I'll take looks the part at this point in the season. One question left, but it's a bit of a toughie. We're going to make you put yourself out there. What's your boldest fantasy prediction for the Bears in 2020?
I'm gonna stick with where we're ending here. I think, I don't know if this is the boldest prediction of all time, but, you know, with Cole Kmet, I think he's going to emerge by the end of the year as a really talented tight end. Part of me wanted to say maybe David Montgomery has a good year. I don't know with this groin injury what that's going to look like moving forward, but I think Kmet, like I said, you know, he looks the part. He seems to be picking it up easily. He's really, they can kind of just plug him right in there, and he seems to be doing well with the NFL game. So that's where I'm going to go with my bold fantasy prediction.
Well, Sean, you've battled some technical issues, me stuttering and stammering. We've made it to the finish. You've said it all. Really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. Where can people find all your stuff?
Yeah, so you can find me. I cover the Bears for Shaw Media. We're at Shaw Media. That's That's SHAW Media, ShawMediaIllinois.com. All our Bears coverage is there. You can find me on Twitter at Sean, S-E-A-N, underscore Hammond, H-A-M-M-O-N-D.
Well, this was absolutely fantastic. You gave us nuggets along the way. So everyone make sure you go out there, give them a follow. And thank you so much once again. And have a safe and healthy rest of your 2020.
And thank you for having me on.
Cole Kmet, rookie, tight end one. Until next year, you are now dialed in.